In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Tuesday, January 31st, 2011, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is our Executive Suite series, and throughout the month of January, we've been welcoming into the Executive Suite C-level executives across the federal government to talk about the results of our surveys of 2012 priorities. Today, we're focusing on performance improvement and the priorities of performance improvement officers in the federal government. Joining me, as always, my colleague at Federal News Radio, Jason Miller. Thank you very much for being here.
Always my pleasure.
And today, to look at the results of our PIO survey, Shelley Metzenbaum, Associate Director for Performance and Personnel at the Office of Management and Budget. Shelley, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Francis and Jason. Terrific to be here with you.
The results of our survey are from performance improvement officers. We took the survey throughout the month of December. Jason, talk a little bit about what the numbers are that we're going to look at here.
Well, what we did is we put together, like we've done throughout the whole month of January, asking about priorities. What are you working on? What's important to you? What do you hope to get done in 2012? And let me just give you, set the scene a little bit around who we talked to. So, of the people who answered the survey, 4 were from cabinet level, or 57%. 28% were large agencies, and 14% were small agency respondents. About 57% had 1 to 3 years as their PIO. 43% had less than 1 year as PIO. Most were career employees. Only 28% were political appointees. And I think this is maybe one of the most interesting things is from a demographic standpoint. We asked, my full-time job is to improve performance at my agency, yes or no? 57% said no. 42, almost 43% said yes. So that means they're wearing multiple hats. Mm-hmm. So we got a good cross-section of people who spend most of their, if not all their time on performance, and a cross-section of people who do performance and other things. And we'll go through the results, but basically, you know, we said, do you have resources? What about the, you know, government Performance Results Act modernization efforts? What about, you know, the Performance Improvement Council? So, and Shelley will give us all the specifics of what it all means to us.
Well, we'll get into the specific results throughout the course of the hour, but Shelley, let's think about themes to start off with. As you look through the results, did any themes jump out at you? Did you see anything, maybe, did you read anything between the lines, anything like that?
Yes. First, let me begin by saying thank you. Thank you for doing this survey of the performance improvement officers. It's the first time ever, so we are greatly appreciative to Federal News Radio for doing this. We also think it's a great sign. It's a sign that performance improvement is taking a front seat, it's taking a leadership role in agencies, and the very fact that it's on the map now is great movement in the right direction. I think there's some really interesting themes here. One is that the people who responded to the survey are saying we are seeing things change mm-hmm. at our organizations. There really is an evolving culture of performance improvement where agencies are trying to accomplish more mission for the money, where they are recognizing the power of goals and measurement to accomplish their objectives and not just using it to report in a compliance-oriented way, but rather to use it to figure out what's working so they can do more of it, and mm-hmm. what's not working that they need to dig into the data, understand the causes. Mm-hmm. So we see some themes here that say that's working pretty well, and that the Performance Improvement Council, which is made up of the performance improvement officers, but which we've really focused on trying to build capacity across the federal government, that we're moving in the right direction. We're trying to build the foundation, and we're seeing indications from your survey and some other things we're seeing that we're establishing a strong foundation to be able to move performance improvement forward.
What is driving that change, do you think?
I think there are a number of things driving the change. One are some practices we put into place when we came in, which is starting with a focus, getting agency leaders to identify their top priority implementation focus goals they could accomplish without new money, without new legislation. So really focuses them on implementation mm-hmm. at the secretary's level, at the deputy secretary's level. It focuses them on implementation even as they're also dealing with big policy discussions and responding to other things that are happening in their daily lives. Secondly is a culture of more frequent measurement. recognizing that data is a tool. It's a resource that tells you information and that you use it in different ways. And then engaging both their own organization, but also their delivery partners across their organization and the public, you know, in helping them figure out how do you accomplish more. We were then very pleased that Congress decided in the Government Performance and Results Act, Modernization Act, to take key elements of that and put it into law. So I think both those things together, both the practice as well as the law, are helpful.
I think the change concept is particularly interesting given the last survey result that Jason cited, which is 57% of the respondents said that performance improvement isn't their full-time job. So this change is happening even while the leaders at the agencies are also doing other things in addition to their responsibilities driving improved performance.
So I think what we have is an evolution going on, both in terms of whether or not you want the performance improvement officer to be a full-time job or not. Some of those people are chief financial officers. Some of those people are wearing multiple hats. They're senior management folks who realize, you know, performance is essentially the return of the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may want them to wear multiple hats or you may want them dedicated. We have not necessarily prescribed that, although we do need a full-time, you know, we want a performance improvement officer who's senior reporting to the chief operating officer, who's really leading these efforts with the chief operating officer, often the deputy secretary, I'll say.
Do a lot of those people who said, listen, I do this and I do other things, from your experience from talking with PIOs, do they have maybe a deputy or someone, a chief of staff, who really that is their full-time job to focus on performance? Because the way I see it, at least, is performance cuts across so many different things. You can't just do performance in a vacuum. Like, you can't do IT in a vacuum. Is that what you're seeing with the PIOs? At least they have someone who is dedicated on their staff?
So we're seeing a lot of different models, and we aren't prescribing a model yet because we're trying to learn from experience. So I guess one of the things I would urge you to think about is performance really does go across the whole federal government. Success for us is when program managers are starting to think about performance and manage performance. So you have places like FEMA and the FDA and the FBI who are running their own goal setting and regular measurement and performance review process. So you really want program managers, you want regional office managers to say, what are my goals? How are we going to know if we're accomplishing it? Now let's look at the data and figure out how do we get more effective and more cost effective.
We're going to dig into some of the specific results, responses to some of the specific questions when we come back. Shelley, my colleague Jason Miller and I, talking with Shelley Metzenbaum, Associate Director for Performance and Personnel at the Office of Management and Budget. You can see all the results of our Priorities 2012 survey for performance improvement officers in the federal government at federalnewsradio.com, and our conversation continues in just a moment.
What is the strategic vision for today's U.S. Air Force? How is the Air Force managing in an era of fiscal constraint? What is the Air Force doing to improve its operations and become more efficient and agile? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Aaron Connaughton, Undersecretary of the U.S. Air Force, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com. Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
My family struggled, and It was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie wasn't sure how to get the money she needed for college. Then she found out about federal student aid and the FAFSA.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help planning and paying for college? Find out more at college.gov.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
I have this dream where I'm leading a group of people in developing groundbreaking solutions for environmental and energy issues. Every day, I'm helping to build this company from a startup into a major player. Before long, we're expanding into new markets, opening offices, getting media coverage. What am I saying? This is no dream. It's what I'm doing now, thanks to my MBA from Capital College.
The business world is driven by strong leaders. One of the best ways to raise your leadership skills to the highest level is through an MBA degree from Capital College. Our online program is focused on developing high-level leadership and management skills for both private and public sectors, with a thorough understanding of how to apply new technologies to solve real-world business problems.
My dream turned out even better in reality. Capital College. It isn't for everyone, but it's perfect for me.
For a virtual info session on graduate programs at Capital College, visit capital-college.edu/radio. That's capital with an O, -college.edu/radio.
Tom Temin here with a preview of tomorrow's Federal Drive. The possibility of a longer federal pay freeze is rearing its ugly head. There's a vote in the House this week. We'll find out how strong a chance it has of passing. And the next big concept in military affairs is joint access. The Joint Forces Development Director tells us what it all means for military people and machines. Those stories and more tomorrow morning, starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, looking at the results of our Performance Improvement Officers 2012 Priority Survey with my colleague Jason Miller and Shelley Metzenbaum of the Office of Management and Budget. And we talked a little bit during the break, Shelley, that one of the themes here is resources, that it came up a couple questions about resources, and then the subject of resources coming up in another place in the survey. One of the questions, I have the resources I need to improve performance at my agency. Strongly disagree, 43%, somewhat disagree, 28%. So the overwhelming majority of folks, at least according to that question, saying they don't have the resources that they need. You had an interesting observation about that question, though, during the break.
Yeah, I was teasing you a little bit about asking the same question three times, but you know, what I think is very interesting here is when you answer, okay, I need more resources, I need more people, like so many kinds of questions, the question that follows is, what do you really mean by that? Mm-hmm. Because that's not actionable information. And as with all of our review, our data-driven reviews, we're trying to say, okay, what actually do you need? Is there a skill set you need? Is there a particular type of information you need? It's not really more or less resources. And I think that's what this whole performance improvement effort is figuring out, is that you need to say, okay, what are the questions I need to ask?
Mm-hmm. Because one of the things we always put something for comments and give us the other or give us your comments. And one person did write, and I wish maybe some people would offer more comments, but one of the comments they said was missing internal analytic capacity. And I think that gets to your point of, okay, what does that mean? I think that one person at least answered your question.
Right.
It's
so,
probably you, wasn't it?
I didn't answer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
So I'm not among your seven because I'm not a PIO. But we're excited that the PIs took the time to respond and gave some very thoughtful answers. I think one of the challenges and one of the beauties of getting data like this or any other kind of data is it triggers focused follow-up questions.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're the Department of Housing and Urban Development and you're looking at your data about you're trying to reduce the number of homeless veterans, you've got a goal that you share with the Veterans Affairs, and you're looking at your data across the regions, and you might see that there's a utilization rate of the vouchers in some regions that's higher than it was in other regions. So your obvious question is, what are they doing? Is there something there that maybe we can learn from? Or if it's lower, to drill down and sort of say, what's going on? Maybe get the regional office or a delivery partner on the phone and say, hey, what's happening here? So they actually figured out when they did that, that part of the problem was that there weren't down payments to go with the rental payments, the monthly rental payments. So that's the power of having this kind of data. And so when you go back to the resources question, the question isn't really about resources. The question is, what is this? What do we need to learn how to do? How do we run these analyses better? And there's resources across agencies that we're learning how to tap. And I think that is one of the great beauties of this new way of doing business, is it's really beginning to get people to find where those resources are, where that skill set is, to apply it to making government work better, to accomplishing more with your available resources.
I want to just step back on one of the things you just mentioned about the support from superiors. 85, almost 86% either strongly agree or somewhat agree that they have strong support to improve performance. Is that, what do you attribute that to, that support from superiors? Is it because the administration came in and said, this is important to us, so we've hired people who it's important to them? Or, I'm going to go back to your evolution piece, that the senior people who have kind of grown up and are now in those deputy secretary and secretary positions, they get that performance piece of the puzzle to make their agency better.
So I'd say we're very fortunate in that we not only have a president who really does talk about goals and gives you progress reports with, you know, on some of his key, you know, the administration's key priorities. You have the head of OMB and previously the chief performance officer, Jeff Science, you know, who are really committed to this. Jeff has been working with the deputy secretaries, getting the deputy secretaries to talk to each other about how they're delivering on performance, you know, whether it is getting the deputy secretary from Treasury to come into a President's Management Council meeting and talk about how Treasury is running its quarterly reviews. But you also have a whole set of secretaries and deputy secretaries who have experience and appreciate the value of the goal, whether it is the Secretary of Agriculture, who did some really wonderful work on this when he was governor in Iowa, and, you know, or it is the Secretary of HUD, you know, who are really very committed, the Secretary of the Veterans Administration. These are all leaders who fully understand the power of a goal for inspiring people when you back it up with regular discussion of progress on that goal and you aren't in a gotcha mode, but rather what can we learn from our past experience? How do we improve?
Just a minute or so left in this segment, but let me ask you about Jeffrey Zients for a minute. A lot was made when he came in about the idea of his experience in the private sector, and I wonder what the PIOs are coming back to you and saying, hey, we've learned this from Jeffrey Zients because of what he's bringing in from the private sector. Are you hearing that a fair amount?
Well, I think we're all learning from them, and yes, I think we hear about sort of how much we are learning, whether it is using forensic analysis to figure out how to cut waste.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the vice president running regular meetings, but you also have a lot of benchmarking going on. And I think what Jeff brought to the table was a real look analytically and surgically and strategically. Mm-hmm. Where are the big opportunities for gain? And I think everybody is learning from that. And, you know, you see a lot more benchmarking. What's one agency doing that another agency could be doing? So if you look, whether it's at our tech stats or our ACSTAT meetings, if you look on performance.gov at some of the areas where we're really on the real estate, et cetera, where we're really making big gains because we're looking at the data. We've set very clear goals. We're measuring, and we're sharing experience across agencies to figure out how to improve, how to bring costs down, how to bring performance on agency mission up. We're seeing real excitement. Let me give you one example that it's a small but incredibly powerful example of how goals and measures can bring about change. That's at the Department of the Interior, which basically set a goal that they were going to reduce crime 5% on 4 high crime reservations. And they decided they were going to have to measure much more frequently. They engaged the local community in this. At the end of the day, they not only ended up with the local community helping, but FBI and the Justice Department. At the end of the day, they reduced the crime rate 35% on those 4 reservations. Now, in fact, that's an average, and they didn't do it on all 4. On one, they've sort of done steady state, but it's a huge learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, okay, how do we take that and apply it perhaps in 2 more reservations in the future? So is that a replicable experience? They're going to try it. They're going to do a replication demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of doing business that's all about learning, not about gotcha. And similarly, if you look at the electronic filing rate, the e-filing rate at the Treasury, where they set a goal that they were going to increase the e-filing rate because it's better for the customer. It's easier. And if you can get the e-filing rate up, it tells you things are working well.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it saves us money. You know, over $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they've gotten the e-filing rate up from 66%, I think, in 2009. It's now up to 79% in 2011. Why? Because they dug into the data to say, what are we learning? How do we get that up?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go?
I'm one of those 79%, by the way. I'm about to do mine in a couple of weeks here and file it electronically. Let's look at some of the data specifically, some of the responses that we got about using the data and performance.gov and so on when we come back. My guest is Shelley Metzenbaum. She's Associate Director for Performance and Personnel at the Office of Management and Budget. My colleague Jason Miller and I talking to her about the results of our Performance Improvement Officers Priorities 2012 survey. You can see the results posted now at federalnewsradio.com. Be back in a moment.
Powered by the latest second-generation Intel Xeon processors, new HP ProLiant G7 servers are a perfect high-speed solution for lowering costs, improving utilization, and reducing server sprawl. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how together they can power your data center into the future. Talk to GovConnection's experienced federal sales team, where service and commitment to the customer are priority one. Call 800-800-0019 today.
It is one of our most sophisticated drones, and Iran claims that it was hijacked using a flaw in the GPS guidance system. They got the drone to think that it was in Afghanistan when it was actually still in Iran, and so the drone landed at its home base, thinking it was home base,
right,
but actually it was in Iran.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
On November 17, 2011, the future of air and missile defense changed forever. MEADS, the Medium Extended Air Defense System, demonstrated the first ever over-the-shoulder launch against a simulated target. It was an unprecedented breakthrough and proved that only MEADS, with its 360-degree coverage, can defend our warfighters against air and missile defense threats from any direction. MEADS has the advanced capabilities and reliability that the 40-year-old Patriot system can't provide, and will cost half as much to man and maintain versus upgrading Patriot. MEADS 360-degree coverage defends more area with fewer assets and has the lethality to defeat advanced threats. Defending more, costing less. MEADS. For more information, go to MEADS-AMD.com. That's MEADS-AMD.com.
Paid for by Lockheed Martin.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Up to scale. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. Parents, your child may have weight problems you don't see, but it's not just you. Pediatricians may not be telling parents what they need to hear. The National Health Survey and Haines asked parents if a doctor or health professional had ever told them their child was overweight. Eliana Perrin is a pediatrician and associate professor of pediatrics at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Most parents of overweight and obese children reported never having been told that their child was overweight.
Making better health choices is as easy as eating right, watching less TV, and spending more time outdoors. The study is in the journal Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine. Dr. Perrin's work is supported by a career grant from the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
Register today for Affirm's February 14th luncheon for an in-depth look at how government policy is born at the General Services Administration. Federal News Radio's Francis Rose will discuss government's leading policy think tank, GSA's Office of Government-Wide Policy, with the senior management team headed by Associate Administrator Kathleen Turco. This luncheon briefing will take place in Washington at the Sofitel Hotel. Register today for Affirm's Valentine's Day program at Affirm.org.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Looking at the results of our 2012 Priorities Survey in the Performance Improvement Officers community with my colleague Jason Miller and Shelley Metzenbaum, the Associate Director for Performance and Personnel at the Office of Management and Budget. Shelley, I really appreciate your time to come in and talk about this today. It's a pleasure to have you here. We were talking in the previous segment about using data and the information that PIOs have at their disposal. And one of the things that I thought was particularly interesting about the data that we have that the PIOs are using is the quarterly reports question. Question 9 was quarterly performance reports instead of annual reports. The overwhelming result was improve the way my agency and my performance improvement team work. I honestly expected the number to be a lot lower than it was just because there's a lot of grousing about filling out reports, filing reports. And yet, these seem to be a pretty valuable tool for the people that are doing these jobs in government. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've learned from experience is that if you get data more frequently, and it will vary by the kind of data, but let's go back to the crime example. If I get crime data once a year, it doesn't help me figure out where to focus my resources. If I'm looking at e-filing rates, and all of a sudden it goes down, or if my revenues are going down, if I have a system where there's some payments, not revenues, but if we see variations in patterns, if you see that once a year, it doesn't let you act. So we really want what we call actionable information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's data that you're looking for variations in patterns. Are things different than you would have expected? And when you see that, you want that difference to trigger a very simple question, why? And we're seeing that happen in agencies. We're also seeing when agencies set a goal, so the FDA at one point, the Food and Drug Administration, with its FDA track efforts, was really trying to figure out how do they accelerate some of the review processes. And they realized in the course of one of their FDA track meetings that part of the problem was they weren't able to get a certain kind of public interest participant on some of the panels, at which one point someone in the FDA track meeting said, from one of the other offices, said, we have the capacity to help you with that. So problem solved. And we've seen that. It's one of the reasons why when we set up our approach to performance improvement, performance management and improvement, we said, okay, set the goals, measure frequently, run data-driven reviews, and then get the right people in the room. And we've seen it happen over and over again where people start asking the right questions and then say, let's try it this way. It just gets a much better dynamic where the data's not about did you make your goal or not, and we're going to punish you if you didn't, but rather how do we continuously improve and figure out how to find lower cost ways to deliver.
A couple things came to mind as you were kind of describing the process. One story that I've been following over the last, feels like 5 or 6 years, is the data overload. You know, it's always been all about the data. And I think that how do you deal with that data overload issue? How do you know your measurements are right? And if you're looking for a pattern, how do you know that pattern is correct? Now, is it one of those times when you say, okay, well, that's not right, let me adjust, and you move on? Give me a sense of how you work on that issue in terms of the data overload and make sure you have the right data.
I think the challenge is to figure out what's the question we're trying to ask. Okay, so you start with your goal, and that's why you want a really clear goal. Am I trying to improve the number of lower-income students in low-performing schools where you're actually getting progress? So then you need to look at your data about low-performing schools that have actually improved. Right. So it's going in and it's looking and analyzing the data to see, OK, what are what I'll call the positive outliers, which schools relative to what you would expect their performance to be are outperforming the others. Now, once you find those, you still have to ask why. Is it on a sustained basis or not? So it's really first figuring out what the questions that what you're trying to accomplish, and then using both relationships as well as anomalies. Exploit anomalies is an expression sometimes people talk about when they're looking at data. Mm-hmm. Use the outliers. And is it a statistical aberration or is it in fact an interesting story? And if it's an interesting story, questions are pretty simple. Why? So you understand one thing, you drill down to figure out the root causes, some of which are things you want to prevent, some of which are things you want to promote.
Mm-hmm. Just one quick follow-up on that, because how easy is that for agencies to do? Because that's a skill that is not necessarily developed by all agencies, or they don't have that skill capacity inside the government.
So it's a skill that government agencies are learning to develop. So the Coast Guard does this very well in some areas. And sometimes it's data, and data analysis, and sometimes it's using data to trigger questions where you just get on the phone with people and you mm-hmm. say, why is that happening? Mm-hmm. And that then helps you understand what's going on. So, you know, if you're talking about the Coast Guard, sometimes we'll look at, you know, where it's seeing accidents, where there are patterns of accidents. And then the questions are, why is that happening? Where's the highest patterns of accidents? Should we focus there? You do the same thing. My local community knows which intersections have the highest accidents, in part because they're helping feed the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's database. That informs my Public Works Department's resource allocation decisions, but it also informs NHTSA about where it wants to focus its efforts. And it not only looks at which intersections have the accidents, but why. Is it distracted driving that's the problem? And then NHTSA will go look at studies or commission studies on distracted driving. How do we stop that?
I'm hearing a theme underlying all of the conversations that we've had so far on the program, and that is that the structures that you've put in place that the agencies are following are generating a lot more conversations about how this stuff works either well or poorly to try to fix those issues. Was that intentional to drive a lot more discussion and information sharing across agencies, or is it just a byproduct of other infrastructure that you put in place that was designed to be constructive here?
No, this is a very intentional effort to take this. You have phenomenal federal employees across the federal government who've come to work for government because they really want to make government work better, to serve the American people better. And I genuinely believe they're here because they really want to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We need to free them up to not just do processes, but to ask questions and to say, what am I trying to accomplish here? And now what do I need to know? And how do I get the dynamic that lets me make a difference? And that is very much an intentional aspect of how we're trying to manage performance improvement across the federal government.
That's Shelley Metzenbaum. She's Associate Director for Performance and Personnel at the Office of Management and Budget, joining my colleague Jason Miller and I talking about the results of our Priorities 2012 survey for performance improvement officers in the federal government. All the results posted now at federalnewsradio.com. Back to continue our conversation in a moment.
Caps fans, there's more than one big game on Sunday. Don't miss the Sunday matinee against the Boston Bruins on Sunday, February 5th at 12:30 p.m. The Caps beat the Bruins 5-3 last week and look to do it again on Sunday. Caps games are always huge events. The fans are always pumped up. Always a great time. This is the hottest ticket in town. Tickets are very limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to washingtoncaps.com/singleticks and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
The Defense Department has begun releasing details of its 2013 budget. Look for smaller pay raises, higher fees and health premiums for retirees. Secretary Panetta is also calling for another round of base realignments and closures. More details are expected February 13th when President Obama releases his full 2013 budget request. FederalNewsRadio.com's DOD page has the latest details on the Pentagon's budget. Find it at FederalNewsRadio.com. Search term DOD.
The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbu. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM on the program today. Reviewing the results of our Priorities 2012 survey of performance improvement officers across government, results posted online at federalnewsradio.com right now. My colleague Jason Miller joining me as we talk to Shelley Metzenbaum of the Office of Management and Budget. And one of the things that I'm always fascinated by, Shelley, is the idea of changing culture in organizations like federal agencies, the whole, you know, U-turn on the Titanic type mentality. One of the questions that we had in the survey is question 7, my agency's committed on a cultural level to improving performance. 57% strongly agree, and I'd have to say that's probably my second biggest surprise, just because, as I said, cultural change is not easy. What do you think is pushing people in agencies who don't want to change necessarily to be willing to do it in the area of performance management?
So I think when we came in, when this administration came in, we realized that the prior approach to performance was very much focused on filling out reports, is writing, you know, setting plans and writing reports. And there was a solid foundation with the first Government Performance and Results Act that got people to pay more attention to goals and measurement. But the objective really became completing this report you were required and these plans you were required to do. And we sent a very clear message across the federal government that that's not what we were trying to do here. This was not about a document, but this was about real change on the ground that affected the quality of people's lives. The president told us he wanted government to work better, and he told us, and I care about the facts. Pay attention to the facts, figure out what they say, and use the data to figure out how to improve. And we're very committed to doing that, and we sent that message. We thought that what had existed before with the performance assessment rating tool had a number of very, very good questions, and we hope agencies use those for self-diagnostic. Mm-hmm. But we didn't feel like we needed to have a single entity rating, though we might encourage agencies to look at themselves that way. Mm-hmm. So our emphasis was about real change on the ground and unleashing a lot of people across the federal government who really wanted to manage in a smarter way, to free them up to do that with some structure in place, the goals, the measurement, the quarterly review process, that, and including OMB review, that really helped create the dynamic that will lead to significant performance improvement and productivity gains, more mission for the money.
Do you think part of the reason why the PIOs are saying there was such a strong commitment is also because when the administration came in, they said, you choose 3 to 8 high-priority goals. And I always find that when you choose it yourself, you're much more wedded to it than if someone chooses it for you. Is that play the big role?
Jason, I think it's a great point. I'd say there are two aspects to that. One is asking agency leaders to use goals as the tool that they are and asking them to choose that. It's a wonderful tool, a leadership tool for for an agency head, and then modeling that for across the rest of the agency. But secondly, focusing the agency. So there's so much you're trying to accomplish, and having a limited number of priority goals, we call them high priority performance goals, but the priority goals, that's what the law calls them. Having a limited number of priority goals focuses and it communicates. It's a fabulous communication tool for saying, okay, here's what we're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. The president's done that with us, doubling the U.S. exports by 2014. You know, these are great tools for signaling to a very large organization what you're trying to accomplish and focusing it.
We don't want to get ahead of the budget because we know that's coming in a couple of weeks. But as far as those high priority goals, are you finding that agencies, while they may not be 100% perfect, the progress report that you can give is better than you expected, about what you expected? How would you kind of, if you had to rate it, around those high priority goals?
So I think agencies have really use the goal process, the goal setting, the goal management, the measurement process, the regular reviews very constructively in two ways. One is to make progress on the goals. So we're seeing real progress on the goals. And the second, I'd say, is a learning curve. What is an effective goal?
Mm-hmm.
How do you run an effective? How do you measure effectively? How do you actually ask the right kinds of questions that are likely to lead to better outcomes and lower costs?
Mm-hmm. I wish we had time to talk about that in greater detail, because anybody that I've ever talked to about performance measurement says that's the critical element at the beginning of the process, is even figuring out what you want to measure and how you want to measure it. And I would love to expand on that. I do want to take you, though, to question number 13. The question was, I get the following from the Performance Improvement Council, and the respondents could check anyone's as many as they wanted. I have to tease my colleague Jason Miller here for just a moment, because I contributed the one that says a chance to vent about problems I encounter, and it turns out that was just as popular as any of them on here. And I think that fits the narrative that you were talking about earlier, Shelley, which is one of the points that you were trying to get at was an opportunity for people to talk to each other and find out what is working and what is not working, to see what elements can be replicated other places.
I think that's right. So we've tried to build the Performance Improvement Council as a network, a inside government network, but that can also tap people outside government. So if you look at the president's fiscal year 2011 budget, we laid out that strengthening problem-solving networks was one of our strategies. And what we're seeing with the PIC is that it's become a real resource to the performance folks across the agencies, where they are borrowing techniques from each other. How do you analyze your employee data, for example? How do you structure your quarterly review meetings? You know, what do you do each quarter? Do you do the same thing or not? We're having others who do monthly meetings. They're finding them more valuable. What kinds of questions do you ask?
Mm-hmm. We're almost out of time. We have one more segment, Shelley. We want to talk to you about some other issues that are included in this survey. Shelley Metzenbaum's Associate Director for Performance and Personnel at the Office of Management and Budget, reviewing the results of our 2012 Priority Survey of Performance Improvement Officers in the Federal Government. All the results posted at federalnewsradio.com, and we'll wrap up our conversation in just a moment.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio. Join me this week for my special guest, Brad Howe, principal with IntelliSource Financial Services. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. You've heard of fighting fire with fire, but fighting cancer with cancer? Researchers are taking a close look at a mutant gene, long thought to accelerate tumor growth in thyroid cancer patients.
We are now trying to see if we express it or give it to more aggressive tumors, does it actually inhibit tumor growth?
While much more study is needed, Dr. Hani Reddy, a Mayo Clinic researcher, says the gene is showing promise in a form of thyroid cancer known as anaplastic.
It's a 2% of all thyroid cancers, but the window from diagnosis to fatality is just 6 months, so it's a tremendously aggressive cancer, and we actually don't have any effective therapies. It's resistant to most therapies out there, and so we are constantly looking for novel therapies.
The research may also lead to better diagnostic capabilities regarding thyroid cancers. For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Tracy McRae.
Go. Hey.
Hey, Eagles fans. Tickets to All American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are on sale now. Get them online 24/7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the Athletic Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena. Catch the Eagles' next home game Thursday, February 9th against Lehigh at 7 p.m.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
You're listening to In Depth with Frances Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, wrapping up our conversation with Shelley Metzenbaum. She's Associate Director for Performance and Personnel at the Office of Management and Budget. My colleague Jason Miller and I talking to you, Shelley, about the results of our Priorities 2012 survey. We wrapped up this survey with a chance for folks to respond to some open-ended questions. They could write whatever they wanted, respond however they wanted. Those were, if I were Jeff Zients, I would take the following action to improve agency performance. And we got some really interesting responses there. Also, something people inside my agency should know about my work, and some good responses there as well. And the final one was something OMB should know about my work. So folks had a chance to respond directly to you in an anonymous way to see to say what was on their minds. Out of these comments that we got, what are some of these that popped out at you that struck you?
Well, I think there are a number of these that popped out and struck me, and quite frankly, I thought were quite helpful and very good. Talk about how much the deputy in each agency is supporting this. This is not just being driven by OMB, but it is really being owned by the agencies. I think another thing is, you know, suggestions about making sure the leadership is talking with each other. So the President's Management Council is really discussing these kinds of goals and measurement and how to learn from each other, and that it's happening at the top. And I think some of these suggestions really reinforce that some of the direction we're taking is the right direction. I would say the other thing is integrating this in with the budget. There's no question that as we discuss the budget, we're talking about what are the goals, what are effective programs, which programs, you know, do we want to restructure so that they actually, you know, work better. So you've seen some changes that have happened at the Department of Education and Health and Human Services aligned with that. So reading these questions and beginning to see that it looks like we're going in the right direction, we're trying to build a system that's going to last, to build the foundation of structure that works so people are excited about it. We've seen that in a few agencies where people have put in place the use of goals and measurement and regular review of the data to sort of say, here's a better way, a smarter way to do business. We're trying to build that across the federal government. We're putting in place the cornerstones that so this will stick and be a real, you know, dynamic that changes the ability of the federal government to work smarter all the time.
We've talked about the elements of improving performance. Talk about the elements of building that structure that sticks around after you're not there anymore, after Jeffrey Zients has moved on, maybe even a different administration. But the principles that you want to see in place at the agencies are still in place.
So we put in place some foundational elements, some core elements. The goals, the measurement, the regular reviews. Congress has reinforced this. The transparency. Congress has reinforced this. We're very excited about that. And then we're creating a culture that's not about punishment, but rather about improvement. And that's been a very important thing. And that comes from the top, from the president, from the former OMB directors, from Jeff Zients as former deputy director, now the acting director at OMB. It's a culture of continuous improvement. And what we've seen in other places is this sticks when you have, I mean, even at the FDA track where you've had a transition not at the head of FDA, but as the person who was running the FDA track meetings, but they continue to move forward. So we're building this to last.
I want to go back to the idea of institutionalization, and this is something that's been building, and as you said during our conversation, it's part of that evolution. People are getting understanding better how to do performance management. Is the key to that institutionalization the idea that you have these performance improvement councils, if you will, inside the agencies, not the big one, but internal ones that can work together, that can continue along, that you have a deputy who maybe is a career or doesn't have to be a deputy, but it could be another senior leader who's a career official who will stay on beyond the administration. It's kind of like what you see maybe with a deputy CFO or with a deputy administrator of an agency. Is that the key there?
I'd say there are a few keys. One is clear lines of responsibility. So you have a chief operating officer, which is usually the deputy secretary, but by law, there needs to be a chief operating officer running quarterly reviews. Those, and for goals that the head of the agency must set. Secondly, you have a performance improvement officer who's really charged with helping make this happen across the agency. But then you also have goal leaders for each goal. And so you have clear lines of responsibility. It's not just words on paper. It is somebody who's an accountable official. But again, accountable means I know whether, you know, what the goal is. I've set a SMART goal. I know if I'm making progress. I'm continuing to push. If we're having problems, I know why we're not having problems. So I think part of it is that clear lines of responsibility. And I think part of it is building this culture, but also enough examples where people understand how to do this. This is a learning curve. And we're at the beginning of a learning curve. We have some real areas of strength and some of weakness.
I mean, there's really no better way to institutionalize this by showing success. And I think that's what you're trying to do in terms of all the examples you bring out.
That's right. I think we're seeing much more success than we had 2-3 years ago, right? And we're trying to find success and spread success. And that's sort of one of our challenges. And one of the fun things that's happening is we're searching for and finding successes, and we're trying to spread that.
You've been tremendously generous with your time today. We really appreciate you coming in to talk about this. Thank you very much, Shelley.
Jason, thank you so much.
Shelley Metzenbaum's Associate Director for Performance and Personnel at the Office of Management and Budget. You can read the results of our Priorities 2012 survey for performance improvement officers at federalnewsradio.com. And you can hear this conversation posted later this afternoon on the In-Depth page of our website. Hour number 2 of In-Depth with Francis Rose right around the corner on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.